We're going to take a side trip this morning to Romans 12. Or we'll start in Romans 11. Verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, there's two interesting scriptures here. One is it destroys the prosperity gospel. Who was first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. But more to the point, his way is past finding out. And this is why the first thing that Jesus said to the disciples was abandon yourself. Because by your own understanding, his way is past finding out. So abandonment of self, and it's total abandonment, then the way is revealed. And normally, in my experience, the way is something that you would have never, ever, ever even conceived of. So who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now remember, this is a letter, so it had no numbers or paragraphs, but it didn't have chapters and verses. So because of that, what he just said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, there's some interesting words there. The word present, as we've studied it many times, it's present, it means it's peristemi, or stemi. And it means you present yourself without condition, without any and the reason we know this is the word that's used for presenting the animal sacrifices. Right, now, and again, you present...
That would have been Hebrew, though. I'm talking about the Septuagint.
When they translated, remember, the rabbis translated it into Greek.
Okay.
And so the presenting of the animals for sacrifice was that word peristemi. That means you're presenting them for death. You're presenting yourself for death. And that's why the mystery, it's called a living sacrifice. Because it's no longer you that live. So, present yourself a living sacrifice, holy. Again, holy is hagios. It's the same word we get saint and sanctified and all these other words that are related. the act of presenting without condition is the act of holiness. Does that make sense? Now, it's your reasonable service. Now, that's an interesting word. All right, first of all, we got to get acceptable.
That harkens back to what we were studying in Luke 17.
I know. That's why we're taking a side trip.
No.
Acceptable there, which is your reasonable service. I mean, holy sacrifice, holy acceptable. And it's a word. It's a word that if it essentially means eminently satisfactory. It expands that by saying which is your reasonable service. Now that's the highest that reason can give. If you think about it, if you really have integrity, you have seen the emptiness of your own way. You've seen the emptiness of the world's way. And so it's the highest that your reason can take you. Does that make sense? So, if it's in harmony with the highest reason, and we could go on and on and study that forever. But then it says, and be not conformed. It's a summary command. Be not conformed to this world. And the world is ion, which is every, no matter what age you're in, no matter what part of the country you're in, no matter what part of the world you're in, it's the idea that there is nothing now, after you've presented yourself a living sacrifice, that has anything to do with that which you just came out of. In other words, there's no reference to the past. There's no reference to your genetic future or genetic past. There's no reference to what you've done in the past or what we'll do in the future. Because you've presented yourself a living sacrifice, and that never stops. Amen?
This is where you don't rebuild a new imagery of yourself now that you're
right.
A believer or something.
Right, and it's not just of yourself, it's the whole nine yards. It's that's where Paul said in Galatians, where if you build again the things which you've destroyed, you make yourself the transgressor. Amen? All right.
Also, there's that verse, there's, what, you're not your own, or something to that effect.
Right, you're not your own, you've been bought with a price.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying that, sort of tag on it, if you rebuild it, then you've lost the newness of life, which is a continuum also.
This word, the world, it's all thoughts, customs, religious or otherwise, which are a part of any generation current in the world, moral or immoral, religious or non-religious. It's not be conformed to the subtle spirit of the world. There's nothing about the Zeitgeist. Is that pronounced right? Zeitgeist or Zeitgeist?
We've always said Zeitgeist. I think it's the same, both syllables are spelled the same.
It's not Zeitgeist, I know that.
Anyway, sorry, I chuckled. Greek word ion there, right? Ion, which?
A-I-O-N. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. It's metamorphumon. Metamorphumai. The closest thing that we have in nature and is the idea of the butterfly. That it has no reference to its past life. And it's got to be, because you presented yourself the living sacrifice, so you're dead. There's no you. As we've studied a lot recently, there never has been a you. There's only been a being masquerading as you. Well, this is a biggie. This is but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing is anakinosis. It's a conforming to that which was and is and will be. It's something outside of your frame of reference. It's outside, but it always has been. So you're being conformed to the image of Christ.
And you have nothing to do with it.
Oh, yes, you do. So every time you see you're not, you repent. And we're back again to that. But it's repentance. Otherwise, you will automatically go back to the world's ways. That's why the scriptures exist, so you see where your repentance is necessary. You're not conformed to this world. All right.
What was the very first scripture we read today?
Romans 1.
By him, for him, through him, to him.
Right. It's who hath known?
I don't disagree.
It's the power of God that's released by repentance.
Like the caterpillar has no say-so, it's ended up where it ends up.
Right. But the caterpillar didn't have the capacity to think. It couldn't see himself. If he saw himself, he'd do the same thing we do. We tried to bring part of us into the kingdom. It can't be done. The only thing you have to see is the futility of what the use of everything you used before. And that's pretty easy. It's not any big thing, but your mind is going to always take you back there. And every time you see it takes you back there, you repent.
Back to that point of realizing the futility of
it. Well, you're right, because you're giving breath to something in the world. That's why it says, love not the world nor the things that are in it. If you give breath, which that's all that means, to love there, agapeo, if you give breath to something in the world, then you've got to see, wait a minute, you repent.
So therein is the value of the mind, is to take you to that place.
Well, there's no question that the mind has to take you to the point of futility. But if you still believe that your mind is some part of it is good, You'll never do that. Because you will resurrect this mind in order that you can do something that you think is good. Or bad, it doesn't matter. All right, let's go on. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may, and this is that now we're at the operative place, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The same test that Christ went through must be repeated in you, that so that you can prove in you what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now you have to remember, Jesus told the Jews that believed on him, you are of your father the devil. And the lust you do are his lusts. We can't forget that. So we are proving or putting to the test this mystery, this good, and so we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're putting to the test in the same way Christ did. Nothing of himself, nothing from himself.
We put to the test. I'm not sure what you meant.
Okay, you are an individual self in the mystery of God, in the bride. And each cell and each Seder has to be put to the test, the same test that he was put through, i.e. the temptation to use his mind instead of abandonment of self.
Now in that context, using mind is trying to solve the problem that's perceived by some skill or power or cleverness of.
Right, you just lean on your own arm of understanding.
Right.
For something, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
The moment you lean on your own arm of understanding, then you've delayed this mystery of transfiguration.
Yeah. I like that.
What's this mind of the Lord that's talked about initially in verse 11, or whatever that was in Corinthians?
In the verse 11?
I think it was. The renewing of your mind, just so we just
be heard. Transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Now, what's the first verse we read?
We started at
1 Corinthians what chapter?
We were in Rome. We started in Romans. Romans 30, chapter.
Romans 33. Okay. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are
his. Verse 34.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor?
Mind of the Lord. What's that mean?
It's the mind of Christ, which eventually goes back to the mind of God or the purpose of God. Because remember, the channel has to be kept clear.
Well, you taught me to bristle every time I say the word mind, so that kind of throws me a little bit.
Well, I don't bristle if you say the mind of God or the mind of the Lord. But that's not your mind.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
I got another question about that word. Which one of the words is anakinesis that's
renewing,
translated into English? Renewing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Be transformed, and the act of the vehicle for transformation is the renewing of your mind. And what does it mean to renew your mind? We know what it means, because a renewing of your mind means that you have abandoned it and you've created a vacuum in the same way that Jesus did. So the channel between him and God was clear. Now the channel between him, God, and you as a vessel are clear if you abandon this thing. Otherwise, you're trying to be his counselor. You're telling, you're saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do. You see? Just think of it as a big water pipe. If water is, if living water is from the mind of God, then the water has to be, the pipe has to be clear between Jesus and God, and it was, and is. Now it has to be cleared between you and Jesus and God. So their emptiness is, and the water, the living water flows. So the impulses flow. And again, so you live, what I believe, is by instinct as opposed to by mind. That's why all the birds are in the air, ants and all the other things, the vines and branches, so that there is no action in you other than emptiness. If the vine tries to do something, I mean, the branch tries to do something without coming from the vine, it's obviously no good. If you try to do something or do, and again, think about doing stuff, then you're a branch that has decided the mind, I mean, the vine isn't enough.
They get pruned.
They get pruned. And they get pruned partly by the preaching of the cross. That's the power of God. All right. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. So you're being put to the test for the purposes of approving.
We're being put, or we put ourselves. Is this both? Or?
It's both.
Yeah.
You have to put yourself to the test to find out everything else is vanity.
Just like presenting yourself is a pudding. You're saying, okay.
Right. Because everything else is vanity.
Yeah, I'm done with that. Same.
But how many times how many times have we resurrected ourselves? We're not really yet, but we think it's us. It's really the evil one masquerading as us. We resurrect ourselves from the dead, and therefore we start using the world system. That's why the tells in this cosmic thing are pretty obvious. It says, if you esteem the same thing the world esteems, something is wrong. If you love the same thing the world loves, something is wrong. If you fear the same thing the world fears, something is wrong. If you're ever trying to protect yourself, you know something is wrong. You left abandonment and moved to protection. So this is the fundamental, this is the, if you will, the duty of a disciple. And if you're not doing it, there's only one thing to do. You empty. Father, forgive me. You don't have to say, Father, forgive me all the time, but you certainly have to empty. All right, everybody understand perfectly.
The duty of a disciple is obedience. The only way that one is obedient is through repentance.
No, the duty of a disciple is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now,
that's God's job.
And
if we have a duty, it is to turn. If we have a duty, it's to press to end.
Right, but again, Gary, that's the thing is, that was, again, we have to use Christ as a model. Think about it. He was 30 years old. He had a dawning awareness of who he was. And as he searched the scriptures and went through the three-year cycle all the times he did, I said, my God, my God. And they remembered things his mother had said, about who he's from, where, he didn't believe it probably. Then when it finally was in him, the certainty that who he was both son of God and son of man, he knew that a son of man, he had to be buried. He had to die and be buried. That's what baptism assumes. And baptism assumes that in all of us, that that's when we're baptized. But we all raise ourselves from the dead, so that's why we baptize more. Now, it doesn't say it. There's no nothing in Scripture about it, except there's a lot of Scriptures about baptism. But the baptism, the Jews that were baptized had to only be baptized in the name of Jesus, because they'd already been baptized in the name of the Father and the Spirit. You understand? Now, the Gentiles had to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son, baptized because, and the Spirit, because they hadn't been baptized before. But the point of it all is that we must come to a place of the abandonment of ourselves, and it's total abandonment. It isn't partial. Amen. Now, I'm not saying anybody has arrived there, but that's the preaching of the cross has to see, that's what has to be assumed. In other words, you preach that you've assumed that the people have reached that point. And if you haven't, if you hear preaching or you see it in the Scriptures of something that you're not doing, or not being, if you will, then there's repentance. And that's what the Scriptures are for. That's what the preaching of the cross is for, is to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Because the axe has already been laid to the tree. The tree is the human race. Amen? All right. Any other thoughts or questions or comments?
More brickbats?
Brickbat. Fortunately, we don't have any in the audience. Brickbats around us. Well, there's a lot of them around, but not in here. Take a big gun.